This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's your brother Yahya Ibrahim with another juz number 4 of our daily tafsir, a juz a day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the energy to complete it. We begin juz number 4, which is near the middle end of Surah Ali Imran, which is the third chapter of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins in this section by speaking about the oldest place of worship. Inna awwala baytin wudi'a lin-nas, the first house that was dedicated as a place and a sanctuary of worship, lalladhi bi Mecca, which is in that valley of Mecca, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah continues by saying, hold on to the rope of Allah, wa'tasimu bihablillah, and holding on to it, the rope of Allah is the Quran, meaning revelation, belief in that there is a communication from the Almighty to those of us on this earth to make us and instill in us good. We are the best of nations. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. If we were to maintain our faith, enjoin what's good and forbid what's evil. And in that shows us the importance of being a person who tries to bring good, not just to yourself, but to broader elements in society. Allah then warns about treachery and hypocrisy. وَيَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا بِطَانَةً مِّن دُونِكُمْ. Be careful with those who try to segment you and not obey leadership, and those who try to divide you apart, that this is one of the underpinnings of treachery in society and brings about a defeatist spirit. Allah also subhanahu wa ta'ala begins speaking in detail about the Battle of Uhud, which is the second greatest battle of Islam. And Allah speaks about the consequence of disobeying Allah, disobeying His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially in directives and orders that should make sense to us, but we do with what our heart desires and searching for the dunya, searching for the contentment of the worldly life rather than the akhirah. And Allah speaks about humiliation as being directly sourced from deviance and disobedience to revelation. Allah then also speaks about the characteristics of piety. To offset that those who are going to bring success, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ, those who will chase and run and be foremost in seeking the forgiveness of their Lord, have particular traits. They are those, أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, الَّذِينَ يُنفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ, they give from charity whether they are wealthy or whether they're in austere measures. They are كَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ, they restrict their anger, they hold it within themselves. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, and they're capable of pushing it completely out of their heart in their forgiveness and pardon of others. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, surely Allah loves those who do righteousness amongst others. Allah also subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about having that defeatist self-imposed prison of lack of success, where a person assumes that they will never be successful. وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا, don't ever think you won't be successful. Don't have that sorrow. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ, you will ascend if you believe in yourself and you remain committed to faith. إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ, if you have that faithfulness, Allah. Allah then speaks about the greatest struggle, which is the struggle with you against yourself. And that is a pretext of being able to struggle in the path of God to free those who are oppressed and finding themselves in difficulty. And that's one of the greatest lessons that is learned in the Battle of Uhud, that it wasn't about standing in the struggle against the oppressors and the unbelievers, but it was struggling against themselves. And when the Sahaba failed, some of them, to stay on the mountain as discussed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as an order to them, they of course lost the dunya and akhirah, lost a share of their dunya, even though they gained the akhirah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on account of their love for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The surah then speaks about how to recover, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be the center of our affection and love and target of our prayers. And Allah says in the last 10 verses of the surah, from ayah 190 to 200, which is the ending of the surah, He begins to describe, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alternations of the night and day are signs to those who have faith and think about Allah. يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ, they're committed to God and thinking of Him in all moments of their life, standing, sitting and laying down. Yet مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا, oh Allah, you haven't created this for naught. There's something that you seek of me and I will fulfill it. These last 10 verses were recited by the Prophet ﷺ in the depth of the night, and whenever he woke up from his sleep sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Try to make it a sunnah in your life. Allah then begins the next chapter of the Quran, which is Surah An-Nisa, the fourth chapter of the Quran. It's one of the tiwal, the long surahs of the Quran. And immediately Allah begins to address oppression. And Allah begins to chastise those who do oppression, and that He will give victory to those who are oppressed. And the oppressed are those who are weak unto themselves, those who are abused, those who are abused as orphans, those who were widowed, and those who were women who were abused, in particular, banned from being able to make hijrah to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah gives an example of real life conditions, which is inheritance, where at that time women were completely annexed and they themselves were inherited by future consecutive governors. And Allah changes all this and puts an end to that oppression and gives women a share in inheritance. And that inheritance is determined by Him and not selected by us, who we like and who we don't like. And that removes family feuds and oppression that we may cause to each other. Allah also begins to give women, and that's the title of the Surah An-Nisa, an emancipation, an entitlement to own property, to buy, to sell, to choose who they marry, and so on and so forth. And that was revolutionary in that moment in history. Finally, at the end of the surah, at the end of this juz in Surah An-Nisa, and there's a whole entire juz before the surah comes to an end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the importance of maharim, who you're allowed and who you're not allowed to marry. These are a list of people that you should not marry. Hurrima alaykum. These people are haram. Ummahatukum wa banatukum. You know, your mothers and so on. A whole list of people who are untouchable in that sense, and clarifies all of that detail and issues that will relate to paternity moving forward. That is chapter 4. The juz number 4. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with insightful reading of the Quran. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim wa zid wa barak ala Sayyidina Muhammad. It's your brother Yahya Ibrahim with a juz a day in our daily tafsir. That was the 4th juz. I hope you join me for future ones. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.